The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
It's the Bears.
Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
And it's
the goal following the timeout. Purdy looking in zone. He throws. Touchdown.
You couldn't ask for a better start for the 49ers offense, especially the way that they got pummeled against Buffalo. They come out today. This is a really good Bears defense. They march right down the field and score a touchdown.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Kitty Albert, Jonathan Vilmar on the call for Fox Sports. Got a lot going on here. You know what else I would have loved? You got a Warrior highlight for me, too? Because it's going to be a day. You know, usually on Mondays, it's all football. 4 hours of football. But I want to give me a Warrior highlight,
too. With 5 seconds to go. Curry at midcourt. Dribbling left. Fades. Gives himself a little room. Shoots and hits a three at the buzzer. Ridiculous.
93-90 going into the fourth quarter. So you had a good day in the Bay Area. Niners win. Warriors win. Moses Moody left the game. Oh, Willie Adames, seven years,
Adames, baby.
$182 million with the Giants. Although Juan Soto just said, hold my beer. I'm going to sign for 15.
Hold my beer.
For 765.
Hold my yacht.
But he hasn't opted out after 4 years. We're going to get into that because I'm not going to lie to you. 888-957-9570. We say good morning to everybody out there. Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Everybody getting off the graveyard shift. Everybody, all the truck drivers, cops, firefighters, students, teachers, everybody get into it. My big takeaway, although Brock Purdy went 20-25 for 325 yards and two touchdowns, very nice performance for Brock Purdy. Big takeaway I had watching Chicago was like, boy, they might be a lot farther than I think, or maybe that's a one-off, but they were poorly coached yesterday. They were unprepared. That was embarrassing, an embarrassing display. So I don't know what to take away from this Niners game against a bad Chicago Bears team.
I'm 100% with you. My number one thing was, my God, they're awful. They're awful. And look, I don't know if Caleb's going to be good or not. I'm not really sure. You could see flashes, but anybody making sweeping indictments on who he is, who he will be, won't be, etc., based off what you're seeing currently, that feels a little unfair.
Yeah.
Now, the one takeaway I do have with the 49ers, boy, when you target George Kittle, look what happens. They had a couple of screen plays to him. One of them was a tunnel screen later in the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, I know you can't throw to him that much every game. You know, you got to mix it up, and there's going to be games where you have to keep him as an inline blocker. But my goodness, and then your guy, Guarendo. I know he's got the
sprained foot, so we don't even know if he's going to play out
Thursday. He looked great.
No, he looked awesome. I mean, it was a frustrating win for me in a sense that.
Why is that?
George Kittle, 6 catches, 151 yards on 6 targets. Boy, if you target George Kittle, you're going to have a high success rate. Juwan Jennings, 8 targets, 7 catches, 90 yards. You don't feature Deebo as much. Brock Purdy, when he has time, man, he can deliver a good football.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you use Guarendo, who, look, man, Christian McCaffrey knew he was dealing with the bilateral Achilles tendonitis. We knew he was dealing with multiple injuries. We knew he wasn't going to be 100%, not have that burst we're used to seeing from Christian McCaffrey. We're thinking to ourselves, boy, Jordan Mason and Isaac Grindo, these are good running backs. Why don't you mix them in a little bit? Well, Isaac Grindo, 15 carries, 78 yards, 5 a pop, but also what gets underrated or what gets swept under the rug was the fact that he played wide receiver in college. So this guy has good hands. He's got some good hands. Now, pass blocking needs to work on. He needs to work on pass blocking. What's going on here? You made that face. What's going on?
No, nothing. Oh. Nothing's going on.
Oh, hey, no. I just looked at your face.
It's the Bears.
No. You looked outside the window. It distracted me. You saw it too, Spadoni. You saw it too, but you guys.
I don't know what you guys saw.
What happened? It's like you guys are in a jailhouse or something, but one woman walks by, you guys all go crazy.
I don't know who walks by. Why am I getting lumped into this?
Because you know what time it is. You know what time it is.
Yeah, 6:10 a.m.
Yeah, no, you know what time it is other than that, 6:10 a.m. Nice try, buddy.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, you know what time it is. Yeah, you can whisper in my ear, try to be off the record, but I'm going to throw you under the bus, Spadoni.
Let me ask you a legitimate question.
Oh, ask it.
How many times can you say that the Warrior game was way more exciting than the Niner game?
You can say that a lot over the last decade.
Really? I feel like Niner games are pretty exciting because it's the NFL.
Yeah, they
are. Last night, but I was so fired up for the Warrior game. There was something about, and maybe I'm just, I don't know, maybe it's because of what's happened with the Niners over the last couple of years, or last couple of weeks, excuse me, but Rudy Gobert does something to me in terms of, like, it like makes me hate him so much. I know he's a good player. I know he's solid. Like, I do. I understand. He's a solid player. But, God, he's just such a whiner. And there was something about beating him the way that the Warriors did with Draymond doing the, like, crisscross and then hitting him with the dunk and then the night-night.
The night-night all possession
long. Was amazing.
When I think of Minnesota, I wonder when it comes to Minnesota, it's like, why'd you guys pay this guy before the season? Why'd you give the extension? But also, when I think of Minnesota, and look, it's a competitive matchup. They had beat the Warriors 5 straight times. They had won 6-7. You guys are just, like, not focused at all.
Well, there's some Yankee fans walking around in the building, and I'm just laughing at them. Like,
you guys
are
just
not. I finally get a chance to laugh. Because
can I get this guy to focus, please? Can we cover up the windows here so Shasky can lock in? Because he's not locked in right now.
I'm 100% locked in.
I don't know if you are.
After my son slept a grand total of 4 seconds last night, I am 100% locked in.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
He led the league in throw-ups on his mommy last night with 5. He was putting down Pedialyte, and then I tried to feed him all kinds of different things. It was horrible. And all I kept thinking about selfishly was, God, please don't get sick. I'm talking about myself.
He was leading the yard league in yak then?
Yeah, he was. That's big. And that's good. That is good. That is good.
We are not locked in right now on a Monday morning, but it's okay. It's okay. We're talking Warriors.
100% locked in.
Listen. Niners are back, Bonte.
We're just really happy today. A lot of victories over the weekend.
The Niners are back. College football playoff is back.
Kuminga.
Kuminga's back. I want to get
Giants
into a
are
lot
back.
Of,
oh, the Giants are so back. Buster Posey did more in one swoop of the pen than Farhan did in 6 years.
You guys missed the player
options. He's looking for a reason to crush him here.
You guys missed the player options, though. Come on.
There's a part of me that misses the one-and-ones.
Deals.
I'm going to go to Joe in Sacramento. Joe in Sacramento.
There's so much sports that's happened.
Joe in Sacramento.
What's up,
man?
Bro?
What's up,
Joe? Good morning, guys. Shout out Kittle. That hell of a performance yesterday. You know, that's the best tight end in the football. Hopefully they could pull the game out on Thursday because we need to get a game up. You know, Seattle's on a 4-game winning streak. What do you think our chances realistically are of catching Seattle?
I think it's very slim currently. Seeing them kind of handle Arizona the way they did, Charbonnet going crazy, and that defense kind of figuring things out. I'm talking about Seattle's defense over the last month or so. This young boy wonder that everybody hyped up from Baltimore, the defensive coordinator who's now the head coach of Seattle. I mean, this guy's impressive.
He's a good dude. He knows his stuff, man. They shut down Kyler, picked him off twice in that first half, and they really ran away with that football game. They look like they're going to win the NFC West. I know they have a game left against the LA Rams down in LA, but they are 4-1 in the division. The Rams do have a shot. The Rams have a shot. Beating Buffalo yesterday was huge for them.
Tough.
Huge. Puka Nacua is such a good player. They ran the ball well. They went up big on Buffalo 38-21. But that game, the division is going to come down to the last game of the season probably. It's probably going to come down to Seahawks and Rams in week number 18. Now, the Rams, look at their schedule moving here. Niners, Jets, Cardinals, Seahawks. Niners, Jets, Cardinals, Seahawks. Now, the Jets are going to try to play spoiler out there in New York City. That'd be a tricky game for the Rams. Whenever a West Coast team travels out east, it's always a factor there when you come to the time difference. But look at Seattle here over the next 4 weeks. They have Green Bay on Sunday Night Football. They have Minnesota at home. Then they go to Chicago. Then they play the Rams. So this division is still up in the air. Who knows? Maybe the Niners can't steal it. But I look at their schedule. You got to start with Thursday beating the L.A. Rams. Then you got to play Miami down to South Beach. And then you got the Detroit Lions, who are running out of bodies.
Yeah.
Let's be real. They're running out of bodies. And Jared Goff, I still think you can get the Jared Goff. I know he's having a spectacular season, but I'm not 100% confident in Jared Goff taking that team to a Super Bowl. So, look, yesterday was a feel-good win. George Kittle felt good. Maybe he needs to talk at the podium every week and just say, hey, I need more targets. I'm wide open. Because Shanahan obviously listened.
Is it fair of me to ask, like, where the hell has this team been the last month?
Well, the team, I mean, when you bring in the Chicago Bears with an offensive line, I think that helps.
You think it's more a byproduct of the Bears than the Niners? Because I don't want to be
the one. It was a good win for the Niners.
It was a great win. You're up 24-0 before the game even started.
It was a good win. I have no complaints. The defense forcing three and out after three and out, four third down sacks. I mean, they came up with seven sacks and Nick Bosa didn't play.
It's kind of crazy.
But at
the same time,
I look at it and say, well, Caleb Williams came into the game as the most sacked quarterback in the league. Yeah. You can kind of see why, whether or not you blame Caleb for holding on to the ball too long or not looking through his progressions or whatnot. Caleb's a rookie and he's struggling right now. Well, he did come in the last 3 weeks, throw for over an average of 275, but You leave the game and say, damn, Isaac Garrido got hurt.
I know.
Bartsch got hurt. Lyman, who's playing well at left guard, all of a sudden he's carted off. So what's next? What's next?
I don't know. I watched that team yesterday, and I just kept, like, scratching my head, like, where has this been? Where was this? Like, the explosion, the big chunk plays, throwing downfield. And I'm sure the opponent plays a big factor in this, and I don't want to, like, just run the Bears over. They looked awful. Absolutely awful.
It looked like they were uninterested in just being out there.
Right?
I mean, they had a mini bye after the Detroit game, and they came out that flat. At one point in the first half, deep in the first half, they had two total yards.
Bonte, they go at no point ever in a half has one team outgained another 300 yards. And I was like, that can't be true. That cannot be accurate. But that's what they were saying on the broadcast. Well, I mean, you know you've fallen down on the pecking order when you get Vilma.
I mean,
I love Vilma. No,
Jonathan Vilma is funny. He loves
was
the word.
Was it Kenny Albert?
Kenny Albert.
Yeah. We love Kenny Albert.
Yeah, I do love
Kenny
Albert.
Front of the program.
But no, I was just asking.
No,
when you get Spiro Dides and Archuleta from CBS, that's when you're down bad.
Ouch. Archuleta.
Yeah.
No Sam Rosen?
I have a soft spot for my white DBs, though. We're having a moment right now. I don't know if you know
They're balling.
They are balling. There's like four white DBs who are balling right now.
Yeah, we're having a moment.
Jonathan Vilma loves the word physical. Physical aggressiveness. He loves hitting. He's so matter of fact on the broadcast. I'm not mad at Vilma, man. He's gotten a lot better. He has. He doesn't say San Fran as much. But they showed a graphic. The Niners had 9 first downs. The Bears had 9 total yards. I mean, it was like, thanks for coming to play. And there was a lot of people at that Niner game.
Oh, it was loud.
It was loud there. I mean, like, so where's this team been? I don't know where this team's been. They still yet to beat a good team, right? I guess Tampa Bay counts because now they're starting
Tampa
to surge.
Is a good team.
Tampa Bay's a good team, even though they were without Mike Evans.
I don't think they were over 500 when they beat them.
No, they
them
were
though.
Not.
Yeah, they were
so,
not.
But also,
they
were missing a bunch of people. But they're a different team as of right now in terms of their health. Obviously, again, Mike Evans back is big. Those three receivers from Washington from last year, Polk, McMillan, and Adunze, like all of them are players.
Yeah, they are players. They're good players, man. So the Niners, 888-957-9570. What's your big takeaway? Brock was Brock. 20-25, 325 yards. I thought he was on fire in the first half. Pinpoint accuracy. Getting chunk plays. Guys are running wide open. Brock hit him in stride. Brock was really good, and apparently the best thing he did wasn't even on the football field on Sunday. Apparently he gave the team a speech. Him and Diamondor Lenore Saturday night got in front of the team and had a motivational message for the 49ers moving forward as they try to fight for their lives and try to make a last-ditch run at a playoff spot.
Well, that was something that Kittle kind of, like, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he had addressed it in the post game where he's like, you know, we kind of had to tell guys, you got to fight a little harder. And that surprised me that he would acknowledge that, number one, and then that needed to be addressed. Because, personally, I thought that they've been fighting the last couple of weeks. I just didn't think they were good enough. But for George Kittle, who's been here since the beginning, and I'm talking about like the beginning, 2017,
yep.
He's seen kind of it all. And for him to make that reference, I was, whoa. Like, I was taken back.
Here's what Kittle had to say about playing desperate.
I think the message was, we need to play with more of a sense of urgency and play desperate. Because you just haven't really sensed that. And, like, I've been on teams where it felt like, was it 2 years ago we were on an, whatever, like, 8-9 game win streak, whatever that was. And it literally felt like every play people were just scratching, clawing, and fighting for everything. And I'm not going to call anybody out. Like, we've all not taken a play off, but, like, you know, just not fought our hardest on every given play. And that was kind of the message. Like, guys, just put it all out there. Because we have the players, we have the playmakers, we have the play call, and we have everything to win games. But, like, we have to do it out of desperation. And when you're playing desperate and you're playing like, hey, if we don't win this game, our season potentially is over, that desperation fuels guys in different ways. And it's just how you take that and how you channel that energy. And I thought our guys did a great job of that today.
They did a great job. And Kittle was one of the main guys set the tone. So moving forward, I know Garrido's a player. This is what I want to see the rest of the season, even if they don't make the playoffs. Garrido's a player. I know he's hurt right now, but he's a player. He's going to get an MRI. Hopefully he comes back clean and he can play out Thursday Night Football. Or it's going to be a lot of Patrick Taylor Jr. and this new guy they signed for the New York Jets. George Kittle, I want him extended. I want him to be a lifelong 49er. Juwan Jennings has had a hell of a year. I still think he should win the Lynn Eschmont Award for the team's most inspirational player. He's played his ass off. He's played tough. So it's all about finding guys. How about Hufanga coming back?
Yeah.
I mean, Tig Brown had an opportunity to run away with that job, and now we have a debate on who's going to be the future strong safety. Is it going to be Mustafa, who took a shot? Is it going to be Hufanga? Is it going to be Jair Brown? So I'm looking for guys. If they don't make the playoffs this season, who can I bring in 2025 to help me get back to the playoffs next season if it doesn't come to fruition this year?
Well, and I think that kind of like, you know, to me, is like, what the hell is going on with Debo? It's just so odd. And I know you win. You're up 20-something points. So I don't want to like make a big deal of it because you're blowing the team out, right? And you're not going to showcase all your cards. You're just going to do what you need to do. Run the ball in the second half. You win the game. But like, it just Debo does not feel connected as part of the offense currently. I'm not saying connected as part of the team. I mean the offense. The offense feels like it's humming, and he has zero part in it. Now, maybe someone who understands X's and O's better than I can tell me, hey, Joe, you know, he's actually commanding coverage, which is opening things up, and that's why Jennings walks in for a slant touchdown and basically is untouched going in. Maybe that's the case. I want to see Ricky Pearsall get a little more targets. He feels like a passenger on the bus in the very back of the bus. I don't think that he's leading the bus. I just want to see him get a little more involved.
Debo Samuel, 85 receiving yards the last 4 weeks. Last four games, Debo Samuel.
Wow.
Look at this. This is crazy.
He's at career lows in yards per game.
It's unacceptable.
Dude, Debo, the last four games, he's accumulated a total 42, 63. He's accumulated a total of 85 receiving yards the last four games. That's an average of just over 20 yards per game in reception. So they try to run the ball with him. He gets 5 carries for 13 yards. He gets stuffed for 2.6 yards a carry. He's just not a factor now.
At all.
He's not a factor on his football team. And I don't know what it is. He showed bursts on the kickoff team, but in the pass game? I mean, look at this. This is laughable.
How many targets?
So he's got 11 catches, 19 targets, 85 yards the last 4 weeks.
Wow. Do you think there's an Ayuk factor in this?
Don't miss that break, doggy.
Maybe we could bring it up on the other time.
I'm just trying to find a solution.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with it.
Are we stupid for even referencing it when they win by 20-something?
No, it's a concern. If you want to make the playoffs, you're going to need Debo Samuel, right? Shout out to everybody watching our YouTube.
It's the Bears.
First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online and just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. segment was brought to you by Go to State Silver the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit gotostatelumber.com. Now, Niner fans, 888-957-9570. Was yesterday fool's gold, or was that a feel-good win for you? Were you really enjoying Brock Purdy's performance? Also, the report from B.A. Rappaport earlier today that he's primed to get an extension this offseason. How do you feel about that? Plus, we got a lot of Warrior talk. 888-957-9570. A lot to sift through with the Warriors, man. Jonathan Kuminga starting. Curry wants to maximize him, but Draymond, after having one game coming off the bench, he's back in the starting lineup. They play really well together. Buddy Buckets goes crazy in the second half, scored 19 of his 27 in the final two quarters of the game, and they needed it. They needed somebody to hop on alongside Stephen Curry in that one. We got a lot to get to here on a Monday morning on the Morning Rose, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
A lot. I mean, losing that close one at Seattle in the last play at home was so tough, and then the following 2 weeks were as bad as it got. So we had to step it up today. Wanted to play well. I thought we did play well, and the most important thing was getting a win, and we got it done. So I was proud of the guys, the way they came out and the way they finished.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
As Shanahan yesterday, he also addressed the rumors of getting traded. Somebody asked him in the postgame presser, you know, what are you making the rumors of getting possibly traded? He goes, it's not coming from me, and I don't know where they come from because I don't want to go anywhere.
I mean, I don't know why they come out, but, like, I mean, I don't want to be any place in the world more than here. And my family feels just as strong, if not a lot stronger. So, you know, I hope you guys are going to have to kick me out of here. So there's no way I'm making that decision.
I mean, somebody actually asked him that after a game about the rumors.
Who?
I don't know who it was.
Oh, I thought maybe.
I don't know who it was. Okay. It was a lady.
It's a fair question to ask, considering all of the, you know, media outlets that are running with it, Pro Football Talk.
Well, I mean, we love Mike Florio. He just was like, I've been thinking, what if? And he thinks that Shanahan needs us to change the scenery, needs a refresher.
If I was the Bears,
come on, man.
If I was a Bears fan this morning, I would have watched that game longing for Kyle Shanahan.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was the ultimate audition.
I mean, you would have what Shanahan could do with Caleb and that weaponry. Oh my gosh. They've lost 7 in a row to Chicago Bears. Niners snapped a 3-game losing streak, so that felt good.
Well, you know, this goes back to, you know, just organizations and philosophy and whatnot. I'm watching the Chargers last night, and they got rid of two wide receivers, kept their two D linemen, drafted an offensive lineman, and Joe Alt has been really good for them.
Yep.
And even then, you know, Herbert's getting knocked around. And they're probably a couple playmakers short, especially in that division.
Yep.
I watched the Bears, and not only did they trade and get DJ Moore, which is a great trade for them, they also traded for Keenan Allen, and they drafted Roma Dunze 9th overall. Boy, it'd have been nice to have an offensive lineman for Caleb.
Man, they got to invest in that one. And a lot of people in Chicago don't have faith in that brass of doing so. So
it's
going to be very interesting to see who they hire as head coach, man.
Yeah.
It really is, because Caleb, I think there's some talent there. And he's, I mean, to have two different offensive coordinators, a new head coach. Eberflus calls their defense, so they don't have their defensive signal caller, which makes a lot of sense on why they were so disorganized defensively. I know this is not a Bear station, but I was looking at the other side. I was like, wow, they are that bad.
They're horrible.
After watching them against the Lions fight tooth and nail, so I thought there was an outside shot that they could get back into the game yesterday, but too much Brock, too much Juwan Jennings. Shanahan was in his bag. Shanahan gets a guy calling the defense probably for the first time in his life.
That's a good point.
It was a mismatch.
Yeah.
It was a psychological mismatch.
Well, one thing is pretty clear. If you run zone against us, we're going to pick you apart.
Yeah.
If you run man, that's where we kind of tend to struggle. All of this talk about the offense needing to evolve, and look, do I agree they need to add wrinkles when facing man coverage? Absolutely. But there's a lot of yards to be had. And look, I thought Purdy was excellent in this game. That being said, they could have been even more prolific because he kind of underthrew a couple deep balls, you know? And look, they were completed. They made plays downfield. The Jennings one, he had to slow down. The Garendo one could have been a touchdown walk-in. It reminded me so much of the CMC play. I love the Garendo, like a Texas route turned into a crosser out of the backfield early in the game. And then simultaneously, their defense, third down stops after third down stops. I was like, where has this team been?
Yeah, no doubt. For one game, we have to give Campbell his flowers. He was all over the field yesterday, Devondre Campbell. That's from our big man, Zucci Mane, and he said maybe because he knows it's his last game starting because Dre Greenlaw could be back on Thursday. All right, before we get to RJ, Doobie Awards. Again, Doobie Awards, Friday, December 20th. It's going to be a who's who. There's going to be a red carpet. There's going to be a photo booth. There's going to be the 360 camera. There's going to be posters. There's going to be free food. There's going to be drinks. There's going to be, I think Tony in Oakland, she's coming. I think she's coming down.
We are celebrating you, the audience. It's a huge blowout party at the end of the year.
Forget the audience. We're celebrating ourselves.
Well, that too.
Go celebrate us. No, I'm kidding. No, we are celebrating everyone.
I got a lot of love for you, too, as you know.
He's not showing up. So December 20th,
I hope he comes.
Laughing Mug Brewing in Sunnyvale from 6 to 10 a.m. Again, get there early, food and drinks, as we celebrate a great year here at 95.7 The Game. And go to 95.7thegame.com for more details and the RSVP. And ignore the reply that says, hey, you've booked for April 30th. No, it's not April 30th. It's December 20th. It's December 20th. All right, let's go to RJ, who's feeling good this morning after the Kings pulled out the Utah Jazz last night, man. 141-97, that was nasty. All right, RJ, what's up?
Bonte, what's good?
I don't know. Are you calling us from literally, like, the tarmac?
Oh, is it loud? My bad.
No, you sound very quiet, and it sounds very loud.
Oh, man, I just haven't talked to y'all in a long time, man. I'm just, you know, checking
Take
in on the boys.
Take us off speakerphone.
I'm not even on speakerphone, though.
RJ, give us a call back.
Hey, Sam, we picked the phone up, we listened to that call, and we said, yep, put him on.
It probably sounded better, so wherever he was at the time, I'm sure.
I was able to understand him just fine when I screened him.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
That was the Chicago Bears of calls right there.
It's the Bears!
100%. Sam, I didn't mean to run you over right there. Well, I mean, if anyone should talk about having audio problems, it should be me. I shouldn't talk about it.
I think it's just the show in general.
Why is it show in general?
Just all of us as a collective.
No, don't throw me in that.
I'm absolutely lumping you in.
Montague, no, don't lump me in.
Line. You are one of us.
No, don't lump me in with your audio issues. My audio is just fine. Don't lump me into that.
I'm sorry. I hate to break the narrative.
I will not be lumped into that. Let's get to the Warriors' future focus.
Let's focus on the Dubs' future. Warriors' future focus is presented by Peralta Community College District with Laney, Berkeley City, Merritt, and the College of Alameda.
All right, Kuminga started the last three games. He started against Denver. He started against Houston. He started against Minnesota. So he got another start. So that's four starts in a row for J.K. And you know what? He balled out last night. I thought his third quarter on both ends on the floor was spectacular. Dropping 20 points, 7 rebounds, a couple steals, including this one that set up Brandon Podziemski for a nice quarter three.
On the near wing, Edwards chased by Kuminga. Ball knocked away from behind by Jonathan, picked up by Curry. Curry in traffic. Passes over to Podziemski. He's open. He shoots and hits a three. Left corner, three ball. A quick six by Golden State, and they're up by three.
Yep, that was a hell of a third quarter for the Warriors. That was a Warriors future focus, just like we love. The future of the Dubs, Peralta Community College District, encourages you to love your future, too. Go to peralta.edu to apply today. That's right, peralta.edu. And apply today. We care about your future. The third quarter, Shasky, yesterday, Warriors outscored the team was 44-32. In that frame, they shoot 72.5% from the floor, 6-9 from the three-point line. J.K. with 11 in that quarter. And I thought excellent defense on Julius Randle, was physical, was pushing him out the block. I thought J.K. grew up yesterday. Buddy woke up in that third quarter, 3-4 from the three-point line and 11 points. And the Warriors had their first 40-point quarter since basically that Atlanta Hawks game.
Wow.
And Grant left his Hawks.
So, you know, it's interesting. The Wiggins-Kuminga game where they were leading the way with no Draymond and no Steph Curry. That was a very impressive game for Johnny Kuminga. In a weird way, I thought this was more impressive because he did so many little things. A, as a ball handler, setting up for others, even those guys didn't hit shots. Lindy Waters got two wide open threes from some dribble drive penetration kickouts by Kuminga. I thought his off-ball and on-ball defense was awesome. I thought his boxing out was excellent. He did a great job getting rebounds. And then little things. Late in the game, Curry is leading a break after a GP2 interception. And Buddy Hield is sprinting to the left. And Kuminga sprints up the right side with Curry going down the middle. And the defense has to honor the pressure that Kuminga puts at the rim. So they cover back and are kind of sagging more toward the rim, which allows Hield to flare out for the three-pointer. And boy, if Buddy Hield just hits a little, it's like a totally different team.
Well, the Buddy Hield splits are fascinating. I'm telling you, man, he got the start yesterday. As Anthony Slater wrote in today's Athletic, that the analytics department unlocked this lineup. GP2, Buddy Hield, Draymond Green, Kuminga, and Stephen Curry. And I know there's a lot with Draymond Green because he said a lot Friday about going to the bench, and he was shifting to the bench. Well, that lasted 24 hours because he was right back in the starting lineup because Andrew Wiggins was out with right ankle impingement. He's hoping to go Wednesday against the Rockets in the Emirates NBA Cup quarterfinals. But Buddy Hield, his splits are remarkable. In the 14 wins, he's averaging 18 points. And shooting 47.5% from the three-point line and nearly 50% from the floor. In the 9 losses, Buddy's averaging 8.5 points per game, 33% from the three-point line, and 35.5% from the floor. So here it is. Hey, Buddy, when you play good, the Warriors win. Hey, I know there's a lot more to it.
I know, but you're right, though.
Tongue-in-cheek, but that's kind of been a barometer. Like, when he goes, this team goes crazy. It's crazy.
There were so many great developments last night. Like, Pajemski hit a three. Was it the fourth quarter?
Third quarter.
Third quarter, you said?
Third quarter. When he hit three.
I felt like he needed that. You know, he needed that so bad. And I was really happy for him. And Kevon Looney, like, I don't even know if we brought it. Kevon Looney played spectacular.
Look, Looney's been
spectacular.
He's had a hell of a season.
He really has. I mean, he was so good last night against Gobert. And there's just something, like, I told you about Mike Conley.
Hey, by the way, YouTube, the Comcast Business Text Line is calling out Lubman. They're saying change the banner colors on YouTube. I noticed we started taking Chark and Sharks. This Sam guy moved it. He changed the color to teal.
No, he didn't.
I forgot to bring it up. He changed the color to teal.
We talked Sharks for like 30 seconds. Talk Juan Soto?
You want to go Mets? Wake up, Lubman. Wake up. All right.
Turn the chat on.
Yeah, let's get the Matt Nahiga, let's get the YouTube chat on, for crying out loud. Let's get the YouTube chat on. Because how the hell are we going to determine the YouTube chatter of the year? The YouTuber of the year? How are we going to determine that? Get the chat on, Lubman. Your assignment right now is go to Nahiga's office and say, Nahiga, I demand you turn the YouTube chat on right now.
Pull up Brock Purdy.
Do something. Since you've been meddling in the last few weeks, all right, what's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Let's talk some Dubs.
Bay Area, it's Draymond Green. The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
KD's played some good basketball, man. Good basketball. Battled through foul trouble yesterday, and the Warriors are still able to stabilize the game. And, of course, the night-night heard around the world as he held the night-night for a long, long time. Stephen Curry improved as Draymond had 6 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists last night. Played some really good basketball as the Warriors go small. And the day of the game, because Friday night was a joke. Friday night, they scored a season-low 90 points. They had a season-high 22 turnovers. They could get into no flow offensively whatsoever. It was just nasty basketball. Minnesota took it to them, and Anthony Edwards let them know about it. He was talking to Devo, Joe Lacob, Josh Dobbs, Stephen Curry. He was barking. You're thinking, how are they going to win a game on Sunday without Andrew Wiggins? Well, the morning of the game, as Anthony Slater mentioned in his piece with The Athletic this morning, Steve Kerr connected with Pabel Sadu. Hopefully I'm not butchering his first name, but Mr. Sadu. And some people are saying, who the hell is Sadu? Well, Mr. Sadu is the franchise's director of analytics. His built-out staff, which includes Hannah Herring, delivers current lineup data reports and occasional suggestions. After a Saturday thinking on it, Sadu presented the idea of a rearranged small ball five lineup. Steph Curry, Buddy Hield, Gary Payton II, Jonathan Kuminga, and Draymond Green. And Steve Kerr mentioned after the game, it took us a little while, but that opened up the game for us. Payton was needed in Wiggins' place as the primary defender, of course, for Anthony Edwards. Hill was out there replacing Brendan Pajewski to provide an extra layer of space for Steph to run free and Kuminga to slash and crash downhill and get to the rack. So The Warriors have been hesitant to play Green at center, but you know what? We understand the physical toll that it's going to take on Draymond Green, but with his offensive efficiency this year with Draymond, now you get these centers out there, out of the paint. You have to honor Draymond Green. So now, you know, he's going to have to bite the bullet at times and play the small ball five for multiple stretches until Looney comes in off the bench and stabilizes that. As TJD's out of the rotation as of now. He'll probably play Saturday or Wednesday night against Houston. We'll see. But the small ball five lineup was very intriguing last night. It really won the game for him down the stretch of the fourth quarter.
I don't even remember TJD playing yesterday.
He didn't play.
Oh, he didn't play at all. Okay.
No. DNP.
Wow, that's okay. Well, against Gobert, he's just such a unique player. You need to have Looney. You need to have Draymond, everybody out there. And so I thought that Draymond Green did a great job on a transition play. It was 3-on-1, mm-hmm. and he blocked Gobert on a layup attempt. And like it just galvanized everybody, including Draymond, obviously, himself. There's something about going up against the big stiff, as I call him.
The Stifle Tower?
No, the big stiff. That just brings the best rejection. In Draymond out.
The French rejection? Well, Rudy Gobert had his way on Friday night. 17 points, 11 rebounds, 5-for-5 from the free throw line, and Naj Reid and Rudy Gobert combined for 26-21 Friday night. 26 points, 21 rebounds. You could feel their presence in that basketball game alongside Anthony Edwards, who scored 18 of his 30 in the second half Friday night. But, of course, Andrew Wiggins, he leaves the game at about the 10-on-7 mark of the third quarter with the right ankle impingement that's been bothering him. And you know if Wiggins can't come back into a game, can't return, the guy wants to play. He's playing inspired basketball right now. So who's going to guard Anthony Edwards on Sunday? Well, GP2 got the start. And look, Anthony Edwards got off to a good start, and he was telling everybody, he's too small for me. Well, in the fourth quarter, GP2 did get the last laugh. You know, Anthony Edwards missed a couple threes, got the ball stolen from him, and Minnesota only scored 16 points in the fourth quarter. The defense turned into offense, especially for JK, GP2, all these guys. Defense turned into offense for the Golden State Warriors, and they went out and ran everything. Got all kind of numbers here. I thought it was inspired, but the small ball five lineup, we'll see how long Steve Kerr goes with it, because in the first, Shasky, 23 games, we've seen 13 different starting lineups.
Well, Anthony Edwards is spectacular.
He is.
His shot is so much better than I thought it would be coming out. Like, he's just really worked on it, and it's pure. It's really pure. The shooting form is excellent. He's very quick with it, and he can kind of do that lean back on the middies. He does a great job getting to his spots and then rising up above you. He's an excellent player. This man, he's so good. He's so good. But I thought they did a great job on the timing of the double teams and at least mixing it up in how they guarded him. Sometimes it was GP2 by himself. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Draymond would come flying over.
Smart traps, yes. Smart doubles.
I thought they did a really good job collectively guarding him. And then I thought they did a really good job keeping Gobert off the offensive glass, boxing out. Draymond did a great job boxing out. Kuminga cleared a couple of nice rebounds. I thought they pushed the tempo at certain times. Buddy Hield had a beautiful layup.
Third quarter.
Just attacking Gobert in transition as he's backpedaling. They, whatever adjustments in the two-day period from Friday to Sunday, I felt like they made lots of them. And then just hitting open shots. Buddy Hield hitting shots changes everything.
No, it does. I mean, look, let's start with the Rudy Gobert situation here. Get him involved in the high ball screens.
Yeah.
Get him involved in the action. And then on defensive end, with Draymond Green at the small ball five, you can help off of Rudy Gobert and be that weak side defender, which I thought was very essential yesterday.
He took a baseline jumper. That was one of the ugliest shots I've ever seen in my life.
So 510-650 is asking for an update on Moody. Moody is uncertain to go. He didn't play in the second half last night. And, of course, he missed most of the game Friday night with a knee injury. So he's got a knee issue, and he's uncertain to go Wednesday in Houston. So that's your Moses Moody update. He's banged up. Wiggins told Mark Spears last night that he feels good about playing on Wednesday against Houston in the Emirates NBA Cup. But getting Rudy Gobert involved in Rudy Gobert in those high ball screens. And also, I thought Jonathan Kuminga. Because we'll get to Buddy Hield, and Steph was marvelous, as always, 30 points, 8 assists. He really carried the Warriors in the first half and kept them in the game. They were only down 9 at the half, and that was due to Stephen Curry because he was 6 of 12 from the floor, 4 of 9 from the three-point line. The rest of the team was 4 of 17 from 3. They were awful offensively outside of Stephen Curry. Steph was 6 of 12 in the first half. The rest of the team was like 12 of 36. So, Buddy and J.K. and the rest of the, you know, Kevon Looney came along for the ride in the second half. But J.K., you saw him three times in that third quarter. And he's got this game, and I think they need it. This is kind of like, I'm not saying he's Kevin Durant. Follow me here. The thing with Kevin Durant that made him so special, especially in this system with the Golden State Warriors, is that when the motion offense bogged down, KD, can you just get us a bucket? Can you get to the elbow and get us a bucket? Mid-block, boom, get us a bucket. Well, J.K. that third quarter, three times I counted, 10 feet away from the rack, I'm going to dribble drive, and I'm going to pull up from 10 to 12 feet. And he's got that little midi, a little fadeaway. He's got that down pack. He's got that shot in his bag, and he's had it in his bag for a couple years. But he hit those shots, and then you notice how engaged he was defensively after hitting those shots. Right now, J.K.'s so young, he needs to see the ball going to the hoop to get his defense really going at a high level. And once he saw a couple shots fall in that third quarter, the way he defended Julius Randle, Randle was trying to punk him, being physical, posting him up, dribble, 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 fade. J.K. held his own on big Julius Randle, and Julius Randle was 4-15 from the floor, so I thought his offense, J.K., really sparked his defense, and that's as physical as I see J.K. play on defense. Man, maybe ever. He was locked in.
He had a weak side block later on in the game, which was excellent. And then with Steph Curry off the floor, you're talking about some of that third quarter period, everything was going through J.K., and he was setting others up. He wasn't just, you know, hey, I'm head down, dribbling to the rim, and I'm going to crash into anyone. When was the last time he had one of those charging calls?
It's been a while.
It's been a long time, and I think that, you know, every time he does, we're like, oh, my God. Yeah, but what about the seven or eight sick passes that he makes as he's driving in, and the defense is collapsing? I think his discernment has gotten so much better, and I loved late in the game when both Draymond and Steph Curry deferred to him and said, it's your turn. Take this guy off the dribble. Everyone clear out. Now, he fell. He kind of got tripped up, and he fell. But they did it multiple times. His decision-making in the half court has gotten so much better.
It has. And then Friday night, of course, you had Draymond Green. By the way, Draymond Green, he had picked up his fourth foul with 7-11 left in the third quarter. I thought it was a pivotal moment in that basketball game. Draymond Green goes to the pitch, and the Warriors were able to continue to play ball and play at a good pace. They were pushing it. They were able to defend there. And even Curry got yanked in the third quarter for a quick second as his rotations are a little different right now. He's coming out. He's coming in. He's playing multiple times. I like this new rotation for Stephen Curry a lot.
The start of the fourth quarter, I thought the game was up in the air.
Yeah.
And I needed him out there. So I actually I didn't mind the new rotation.
Yeah, not at all. They were up three going into the fourth quarter. You're thinking, boy, this game's getting hairy.
Exactly.
But they were up 11, 102-91. They were up 11 in the fourth quarter. And Minnesota Storms back with a 15-3 run. They're up 106-90, 105. And I'm like, Nikhil Walker-Alexander would miss. He would not miss.
He was awesome. And I thought McDaniels was in Curry's back pocket. Not that Curry wasn't good, but he guards him so well.
He makes him work. He's 6'7", 6'8". He's long, athletic.
He's
one of the best
player.
Perimeter defenders out there in the league. But Nikhil Walker-Alexander's making threes. His Warriors went to a little zone. They went to some 1-2-2. I don't know if you know, so Podziemski got out there late third quarter, early fourth quarter. So they started dusting off the janky defense a little bit.
It's not janky.
Not janky.
Not janky. If the eighth grade St. Brennan's Bears have run that for 5 years, it's not janky.
No. We're just saying janky.
The 1-2-2. I might mix in a 1-3-1 diamond.
We're calling it
janky. Maybe a box and one.
We're calling it janky.
Classic 2-3 zone.
We're calling it Jakey because Steve Kerr mentioned it in the 2019 NBA Finals.